640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks. Israel says it's been trying to give Palestinian civilians a heads up to get out as it pushes deeper into southern Gaza. CBS's Natalie Brand reports.
Israeli defense forces say they are trying to mitigate harm to civilians.
And try and make movements and ask for people to move in order to minimize harm to these civilians.
But many Palestinians say they have no place to go, no supplies, and constantly fear bombardment. We are living between life and death, this mother cries. We may die at any moment.
Evacuation warnings have mostly come as digital QR codes. CBS News has reviewed a new joint bulletin from the Justice Department and Homeland Security that warns terror groups could use the war in Gaza to call for violence in the U.S. this holiday season. FBI Director Christopher Wray made a similar statement today on Capitol Hill.
While there may have been times over the years where individual threats could have been higher here or there than where they might be right now, I've never seen a time where all the threats, or so many of the threats, are all elevated all at exactly the same time.
He says the FBI is working around the clock to identify and stop any potential attacks.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville cleared the way today for more than 400 military promotions that have been stalled on Capitol Hill for months. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Thank God these military officers will now get the promotions they so rightfully earned.
Tuberville had been protesting the Pentagon's abortion policies. The ATF's going through remains of a home in Virginia that blew up last night after a man fired at officers. Special Agent in Charge, Craig Kemali.
We now have canines, bomb techs from both field divisions, and fire arson experts on scene. We will be here for the duration, providing assistance with our partners to determine a cause and origin.
A new law in New York will require cosmetology students to learn how to style textured hair.
For people who wear styles including various wave patterns or afros, the Professional Beauty Association says this is a huge step in advancing hair inclusivity. Many women of color have dealt with long-standing bias if they don't wear their hair chemically straightened, as well as a lack of expertise at some salons. The law takes effect in about 6 months. Allison Keys, CBS News.
And it'll be another little while before Stephen Colbert comes back to work. The Late Show host canceled another week of shows after having his appendix removed. He posted on Threads that he's just listening to doctor's advice. This is CBS News.
The holiday season is right around the corner. Give the gift that's hard to wrap, but easy to give. Give them a steal. Visit your local steel dealer or go to steelusa.com/giftguide.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season to...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that the 1849 law that was interpreted as an abortion ban does not actually ban consensual abortions. Following the Dobbs decision last year, state officials pointed to that law to criminalize all abortions. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin praised the judge's decision, calling it a step forward to restoring access to abortion across the state. Still, this is likely not the final ruling on the matter, and the case is expected to make its way to the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin and Minnesota are asking for more than $1 million to replace the John A. Blatnick Bridge between Superior and Duluth. The span is critical for connecting the two states. 33,000 vehicles use it every day. But it's 60 years old, and the governors say it's in bad shape. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks with an eye on Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Knicks tonight for the knockout round in the NBA in-season tournament. Here's how Giannis described it.
Big game on big game. Playing, you call it playing
the
game.
Tuesday,
hopefully we can win the game and go to Vegas and try to fight for the opportunity to win a trophy.
At the baseball meetings in Nashville, the Brewers formally announced their record deal with prospect Jackson Chourio for 8 years and $82 million. They also re-signed left-hand pitcher Wade Miley for next season. NFL running back A.J. Dillon on that catch he made on the left side and ran over people for 14 yards against the Chiefs.
You know, I take a lot of pride in yards in the flat. You know, I've been able to do that kind of the last couple of weeks, be a reliable check down for Jordan. I don't care if it was for 1 yard or 10 yards, whatever it ended up being. You know, it's about showing up and it's about being consistent for me.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 27. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 38. To tomorrow night, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, the podcast where we turn up the volume on education activism. But before we dive into the core of today's electrifying discussions, let's take a moment to celebrate a remarkable milestone in the education landscape. Happy birthday, ChatGPT. In just a year, ChatGPT has sparked a revolution in personalized learning, aiding students, supporting diverse learning styles, and enhancing language education. Johnny Lupinacci, happy birthday, ChatGPT. What do you got to say about that, my friend?
Oh, man, it always throws me off anytime something's name is happy birthday. It just kind of throws me a curveball. I'm not sure about it. As I've been unsure about ChatGPT, not saying I'm a hater or I'm that guy who's like, oh, man, this is a terrible technology. I think it's pretty awesome.
Are you a Luddite? You're not a Luddite.
No. No, okay. but I'm a skeptic. I'm like, all right, let's see what these things can do. And I'll be honest, at the moment, like the last 6 to 8 months, I'm overwhelmed with how many different ones there are. So I didn't know if it was serious. You sent me a text that said, check out the happy birthday GPT. That was my birthday last week. So I was also confused. I was like, oh, Tim gave me he had ChatGPT tell him it was my birthday. I was confused. Yeah. Like, why do you name something happy birthday? It's a terrible name for a product. So it threw me off. But then there are so many, and I'm lost in the sea of them. Not like we're not doing a review of them here.
No. Right.
So I've been just drowning in. There were a few, and we were kind of tinkering with how they would impact education. Well, and then
think about it. Wait, right.
And there were a thousand.
Yeah, so think, right, 1 year ago, though, too, you know, so the happy birthday referring very specifically, though, to ChatGPT, Johnny, a year ago, this was released, and we were pretty right there doing shows right away. Our friend John Warner came on to talk about going, you know, everybody was freaking out, it's going to replace writing instructors, and John was like, yeah, hold on, actually, it's only going to replace bad writing instruction. Because now AI can do the bad teaching of 5-paragraph essays. Now writing teachers can actually do real teaching of writing. So we were there. I mean, we were there right when it happened, Johnny. Busted Pencils, yeah. That's what we do. But a year later now, here we are, and you're, quote, potentially a skeptic.
Well, I mean,
not
I
a
told
Luddite,
you
a skeptic.
Yeah.
But okay, so listen. Let me just go over. Did you notice anything different about the show intro tonight?
I mean, yeah.
Busted Pencils, the podcast where we turn up the volume on educational activism. But before we dive into the core of today's electrifying discussions, let's take a moment to celebrate a remarkable milestone in the education landscape. Happy birthday, ChatGPT. Dude, that was created on ChatGPT before the show. The yeah. intro, man. I said, chat, check it out. I'm doing a show on ChatGPT's birthday tonight. Our show, Busted Pencils, is out there. It's kind of punk rock. Write me a nice little introduction so I can blow Wait, up the show
did
tonight.
Did you put that in there? Did you type in this kind
yeah,
of punk
rock? Yeah, I typed
rock?
All that stuff in, man. I'm like, you know, so check it out. ChatGPT knows Busted Pencils. It framed it in the right way, man. It said, now let's get back to our mission, turning up the heat on the education establishment and shaking up the system. Dude, ChatGPT produced that language. I see producer Anya out there in Wisconsin. She's got a look of going, oh, my God. Anya, you got to jump in with that face, man. What are you thinking?
Well, I was going to ask when you started reading that. I didn't want to insult you in your great writing, but I was going to go, hey, Tim, was that maybe AI generated? Because that was kind of like the six-fingered cold open of our show so far. The AI, I could feel it seeping in a bit. But I am cracking up. I like that you guys call yourselves skeptics, like AI or ChatGPT is a ghost. We're not sure if it's out there. I'm
not sure if I'm being tricked. If there's just a person on the other end typing stuff really fast.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
I'm telling you though, I am, and Johnny knows because we talked about this. I have to admit, in probably the last 2.5 to 3 weeks. I'm beyond skeptic.
I mean,
and,
you're in.
I don't, and, I mean, and I don't mean that is like I've gone total Luddite. I'm going the other way, man, because I see something there that is just incredibly remarkable that is potentially making me go, hold on. This is not just, you know, and my wife and I have this conversation. It's a glorified search engine. This is my wife's point. I'm like, no, if you think of it as a glorified search engine, you don't get it. And I saw this on demonstration with our education students here on campus. I mean, you know, we can talk about that. If you're out there, though, too, and this isn't AI generated, call us 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Tell us your AI experience, AI in education. The fundamental question, though, Johnny, is this is, you know, and you said, there is no a fundamental question. There are lots of questions. Did I cheat? That's potentially the first kind of way that educators have approached ChatGPT. Oh my God, it's cheating. So question then to the audience, when I read that new prompt, was that cheating? Was that good writing? Was that me being efficient and using a tool to be able to make a much better introduction to my podcast? 844-967-2789. Am I doing it, you know, well? Am I cheating? What? That's probably the kind of entry-level question that I think a lot of educators going, it's cheating, it's cheating. Okay, is it cheating? Did I cheat tonight? But Johnny, a whole host of issues. And guess what? The topics, I'm going to admit it, we're going to be AI open here. Yes, I used not Johnny, because Johnny's still skeptical, but I used in producing the show notes tonight, and I said, hey chat, give me some topics in education for tonight's show talking about podcasts. And it said, hey, okay, check it out. Podcast topic one, revolutionizing personalized learning with ChatGPT. Podcast number two topic, the role of AI in education privacy and integrity. Topic three, state and federal guidelines for AI integration in schools. Topic four, AI-generated content and academic integrity in schools. And then topic number five, the future of ChatGPT in shaping K-12 education. That's generated. And Johnny, you know, people who are watching the show live right now on all of the other social media channels, you can see I'm holding it up. But there then too is a nice little summary paragraph that says, and dude, if these are the topics you want to cover tonight, here are some cool little notes you might want to throw out for the show for listeners to hear. I don't know. Am I cheating? Is this, or is this show preparation? Is this quality show preparation? Because I'm taking this moment to go like, look, if I had to really, really prep for this show to get this type of a quality summary for these five topics, the amount of time I would spend, quote, doing the old traditional Google search to find all this stuff. Come on, I'm just being intelligent, using intelligence and helping me out. Johnny, thoughts?
I mean, I have all kinds of thoughts going through my head on this. And in part, I like it too. I mean, I told you my take on this was as a math educator, you know, and a math teacher, it reminded me so much of, you know, even studying mathematics before becoming a math teacher, like the discussion around use of calculators and software programs that did advanced calculations and mathematics, and say like for calculus students to be able to do derivatives, you know, on you know, a math software on a computer, opened us up to being able to teach more about, you know, the occurrences of mathematical things in the world and the concepts and the artistry of it and being creative around it, and move away from sort of meaningless assignments that were like, here are 400 derivatives to do this week, right? Mm-hmm. So more at our hands use of tools, speeding things up, but not losing the conceptual piece of what is, you know, the process or why we have these things. So I think it's a powerful tool. Again, I'm sort of like lost in like, which one do I pay for? Like, which is the one I register for? Like, what are the good ones? And while we were talking, you know, I punched into ChatGPT. I asked it, you know, what is a good question to ask Tim and Johnny on the Civic Media radio show Busted Pencils about AI and education? And it's okay. a thoughtful and engaging question to ask Tim and Johnny on Civic Media Radio is, how do you envision the role of artificial intelligence in education evolving over the next decade? Whoa. And what potential benefits and challenges do you foresee for students, teachers, and the education system as a whole?
Man,
not
dude.
A bad question. I mean, how long do we have? Do we have an extended pause on that? But, you know, I also wonder, like, how much does ChatGPT know, right? Mm. And it's still a computer program. It only knows as much as the information is out there, right? So it's like spinning back a collection of things. So in that sense, I do feel like a calculator is just like a really fast math program. Mm-hmm. I think ChatGPT is a kind of glorified search engine that does some of the next steps for you. Like you can tell it to write it up. So it's doing some work on top of collecting all that information. I mean, it also made me click on a couple of disclaimers that I agree to fact check things and all kinds of stuff. So this is a nice advancement in it, because before it didn't used to do that.
No, right.
Now it's saying like, look, we can't guarantee this is fact. We're combing the internet for stuff and slapping it together for you here. It's on you whether or not, you know, you want to ride with what we give you.
Oh man, I got so many stories on this, and we're coming up on that first break. We got two callers, LA Tom, a great buddy of mine here in Ohio, yes. Jim Sturtevant's on there. We're going to get to both of those calls, but here's the thing. So, you know, we on the extended pod, you haven't heard it on Civic Media, but on the extended pod, we interviewed presidential candidate Marianne Williamson a couple weeks ago. So here's the coolest thing. I asked ChatGPT getting into this, tell me about the interview Tim and Johnny did with Marianne Williamson. Now, the reality is that it only goes through 2022, so it had no idea we had done that interview. It came back and said, oh, they did this great interview, and here's what she talked about. It totally lied. It totally lied. It fabricated that Johnny, we had done it. So, man, ChatGPT, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. When we get back, LA Tom, Jim Sturtevant, Busted Pencils, more after the break.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Oh, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. No AI enhancement on this coming back into the show. Wow, look, we got three callers. Uh-oh, Johnny, we might
have stepped into something.
And I'm telling you what, these callers are not AI generated. Let's go first though, to my colleague, Jim Sturdivant. Jim, you're out there. What do you got to say, buddy? I know we've been talking about this. And Johnny, I got to tell you, Jim is probably responsible for moving me in the past 3 weeks from the kind of guarded skeptic into going, man, we got something going on here. Jim, what's happening?
Well, I want to tell them a story about our two classes this month.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man.
Oh, yeah, we got you, Jim.
All right, man. So, like, Tim's the department head at our education department, and he came to me last year and said, play around with this ChatGPT. It's really interesting. And I did some, and the turning point for me came this summer when I was driving around on vacation with my wife, and we're listening to this podcast where the actor John Hamm is being interviewed, and the topic of artificial intelligence came up, and the host asked him what he thought of it, and he said, well, it's not going to uninvent itself. So I might as well stay relevant and dive in. And that really motivated me. And I had a couple of assignments. I taught summer school, had a couple of assignments that dealt with AI, but not a lot. And then just this fall, it just started to pick up. I kept thinking, how can AI help me do this? And then that translated into challenging my students to do the same. And I had a curriculum and design class, and they started utilizing AI to build those lessons. So at the beginning of November, I had an idea for a class where I gave groups of students a challenge, like a problem that they were going to try to work with AI to solve. And they worked individually for about 10 minutes, and then they collaborated in small groups, and then they reported out what took place. Now, Tim was there. He loved the class, and it created a bit of a stir at our university. And so I was asked, can you do it again? So a couple of weeks later, we did it again with a bigger audience. And since that time, I'd say since November, Tim and I talk in person every day and on the telephone every day about AI. It's very addicting.
It's very.
And what's interesting is, we just wrapped up our semester. One of our extended responses on our semester final was about AI and challenging students to talk about their evolution in their thinking of AI during the semester. And some of the responses, many of the responses have been glowing about how this has changed the way they think about things.
Jim, I just wanted, so thanks, man, for bringing this in. So, Johnny, now you can see what's been happening here. I got a colleague here locally in Ohio that's been, you know, and Jim is, you know, I showed him this in November, last November. He's brought it around. We come into class, we're sitting there. His evolution of his students and what it was about 3 weeks ago when I went to that first class he was talking about, there was a moment when a student really conceptually, to me, demonstrated a kind of epistemological pivot. And that was huge. Man, check out that word, right? How do you know? Hey, epistemology, how do you know what they know?
I know what it means, but
I don't know if we're allowed to say that on air.
I know, you might have to break that down.
That is not one of the seven dirty words, okay? Epistemological, but this person, so in other words, they decided that how they used to know the world changed at that moment, because she goes, oh my God, this isn't a search engine. This is my new assistant. And then started talking about it in the frame of saying, this isn't a search engine. This is a colleague. This is someone I have a discussion with. The someone being a computer, but moving away from an information going out and grabbing information into a, here's a dialogue friendly type of situation where we can have a conversation. That shift made me go, okay, there's something there. Jim, thanks for the call. Anya, where are we at on time right now? Do we have time to take LA Tom?
Oh, yeah, we got time. Yeah.
We got two more.
Okay, LA Tom, you're on, man. What's happening? ChatGPT, happy birthday, LA Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and must wake up and realize that. Second, I think that ChatGPT is actually a tool, like Johnny said, that could really open up, you know, the world. And I think everyone should probably get on board or you're going to be left behind. But is it going to be a place like misinformation, like right-wing hate radio, right-wing hate TV, and put things that are not true on there sooner or later? Because if that's the case, that's a one pitfall. The second thing I think that's really important that we don't lose as a culture, as a people, is understanding our ABCs, 1-2-3s, things like cursive, because it sounds like cursive is going out the window. And there's a lot of really important documents that have been written in cursive, going back to our founders. And I think, I own also a, I won't say a yellow page directory, because that's what it used to be. now it's just a regular directory online and mobile. But I noticed even a few years ago, kids didn't really know how to use a directory. Like, they didn't know, A, B, C, D, how to find things, which I was really flabbergasted by when that first happened. But it's like they don't have that basic skill. And I think if you're going to use ChatGPT, you need to also have the basics of, or the fundamentals of, what it is that we do. Because if you're just jumping into this, where you're just asking computers to tell you stuff, like, which will probably happen in future generations, you've lost something along the way. Like, when you read that first thing, Tim, I knew right away it was AI. Because it didn't have the personal feeling that your writing or your speech or your humanism actually gives. I did that this morning. I was writing a birthday card to someone, and they said, "Do you want me to use AI?" And I said, "Yeah, why not?" And then I read it, and I'm like, going, "No, this would not be good for a birthday card, because this is my friend, and it's not me coming through in the writing." I'm sure sooner or later they'll know how I react to things or how it is that I talk, so therefore they might be able to do that as well through AI. But I just think it's really important that we have the fundamentals and the basics before we actually jump into this type of technology with kids and what have you.
LA Tom, man, I can't listen to this, Johnny. And Tom, we're coming up on the break. Thanks for calling. We love when you call and participate. LA Tom's starting to move into that Luddite cursive writing. Hold the phone, man. Hey, AI can read cursive writing now, LA Tom. We don't need to teach that nonsense anymore. Loving LA Tom. We got Bob on the line when we get back from the break. It's Busted Pencils, it's artificial intelligence, and we will be back after the break.
Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has reviewed a bulletin issued by the FBI to law enforcement nationwide. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
This bulletin says that the most likely primary targets could include churches, synagogues, and members of the Jewish community. Now, today, the FBI director was telling senators that the U.S. is facing the highest risk of attack in years.
GOP Senator Tommy Tuberville ends his blockade on most military promotions. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Patrick Ryder says it's important that all holds be lifted.
We've got a lot of work to do, and you need to have the right leaders in place in order to carry out those operations.
As Israel's military pushes its way into Gaza's second largest city, Khan Yunis, families of hostages taken by Hamas nearly 2 months ago meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. CBS's Chris Livesay in Jerusalem.
They've been calling on the Israeli government, demanding that the Israeli government resume negotiations with Hamas immediately.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers signed the bill to spend $500 million of public money to pay for upkeep at American Family Field on Tuesday. The bill eventually saw bipartisan support in the legislature after months of negotiations. Now negotiations can begin between the Brewers and the state-created ballpark district that owns the stadium to keep the team in Milwaukee through 2050. The Wisconsin State Senate's top Republican tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network he disagrees with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over withholding University of Wisconsin pay raises over diversity programming.
Why do you support holding back those pay raises for UW employees?
I don't support holding them back.
You think that money should go out the door?
Yeah, I do.
Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says withholding raises hurts a lot of people who have nothing to do with diversity programs. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 27. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 38. To tomorrow night, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Tim and Johnny, two woke warriors, teaching and learning in a post-pandemic world. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
Welcome back, rebels and renegades, to Busted Pencils, where we're fueling the education revolution. Oh my God, Johnny, does that make you want to barf?
Yeah, man. Hearing it's, that. It's got some corny intros for us.
I typed that in. So we're talking ChatGPT, birthday, education, transforming education. We're messing around. Great callers, LA Tom, Jim, appreciated talking about how it fabricated Marianne Williamson. But be honest, I'm coming at this. I see a transformative thing here that's really moving forward. Joking aside, I want to get into that. But definitely got another caller on the line. Caller Bob. Bob, artificial intelligence. I have a feeling I might know this Bob too. Bob, what do you say about artificial intelligence in education, my friend?
It is absolutely essential. But I want to teach. I want to teach the educators just a little bit about AI.
All right.
So I ask a question of Bard, which is a different algorithm than GPT, about your show. Uh-oh. And the question I asked was, how do you think broken pencils will be affected by AI? And on the set, so first of all, I said, how do you think broken pencils? So I'm asking.
Busted pencils, Bob, busted.
Busted pencils. Oh, yeah, busted pencils. Okay, there you go. So I asked it what its opinion was, and it said it had a positive side and a negative side. Positive side was it could get rid of tasks that are unnecessary and allow the content producers to produce more innovative and creative and engaging content.
Love it.
Which is a benefit, okay? Mm-hmm. It also mentioned that it might have negative effects, and one of the negative effects is people that transcribe the scripts might not have to do that anymore. And it could cost jobs, which I thought was cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially since the AI is what's actually going to affect people's jobs. I'm hoping it doesn't eliminate jobs, just moves us up the stack. So one of the things that I would encourage you guys to do is ChatGPT has a specific algorithm and it's open. It's an open AI algorithm. Bard's is actually been built by Google. So there's a big conflict out there in the world that, you know, Google's doing this kind of behind curtains and OpenAI is opening it up to the rest of the world. So it's important as you're in this AI journey, which you're going to be on for the rest of your life, to look at the various algorithms and why they produce what they produce, because what they produce is based on the knowledge that it's collecting and what it thinks is valuable. And what other people think is valuable, which is how it's getting its learning and how it seriously separates itself from a search engine.
Wow. I love this, man. Bob, thanks for calling. This is huge. I'm actually signing up to try Bard right now. No lie. I'm like on the air live. You know, I've experimented with the ChatGPT and a couple of different AI softwares, but this one I haven't yet, and I'm on it.
But see what Bob's saying there too, right? Is and Johnny, this is, you know, we're talking about AI, and really we're celebrating the birthday of ChatGPT. But is, and Johnny, you even talked about this, the number of AI tools, Bard though being a large language model out there that as Jim points or Bob points out, various, there's an algorithmic difference, so that when you ask Bard or prompt, and let's start using the right word, when you prompt that AI, it has a different way of going out into the world and finding information and framing it and bringing it back. Okay, you're Johnny, I see you right now.
Oh, man, what are you doing? I mean, so far Bard is crushing ChatGPT because it can't tell me much about our show. ChatGPT, it says, you know, it gives some really generic and somewhat fabricated like gloss over of it, and I ask Bard, what can you tell me about the radio show and podcast Busted Pencils? And it spit out a pretty accurate depiction of our show with the logo, our pictures, profiles of us, the whole thing. So I'm down the rabbit hole. I'm I think AI is a tool, but I absolutely think it's an essential tool. Like Bob had said, it is going to be with us. Like, and I mean, it's, I think it's more powerful than the calculator, but it reminds me of this like innovation of like the PC, like the, you know, home computers and calculators changed how we worked and lived and learned. And I think AI is definitely doing that. And I loved what it thought about our show, right? About positive pros and cons, right?
No, but think of, right, there it is. So, Johnny, you're making that move. And I want to make that, you know, people have said, you know, it's like the calculator. It's like the personal computer, right? It changes things. I tend to see this one more, and so that is definitely a Bob I know, and Bob is an AI guru, and just, you know, he kind of put this to me the other day. We were talking about this, the exponential effect of change, and so realizing, I think AI is more like the Gutenberg press than it is like the calculator. Because understand the Gutenberg press, that up until the 1400s, the ability to, quote, get a book was ridiculous. You had to have a bunch of people with a bald spot in the middle of their head sitting in dusty, damp basements, writing with feathers and who knows what for ages. The printing press comes in and all of a sudden, literacy, it exponentially changes the way the world operates. I think the calculator is a tool. I think personal computers is a tool. I think, Johnny, what you're getting the taste of that rabbit hole you're going down is this exponential change of going, wait a minute, this could radically change. And I'm going to say it again. This has the ability to shift, to give you a pivot in your epistemological outlook on teaching and learning. Caller Joanna from Madison, you're out there. Joanna, what's happening?
Great show. I just have one little concern about bias, because we've got this machine that's eating up all these data from the internet, especially Wikipedia. Some of the analyses of the ChatGPT outcomes and all that say it's heavily sampling from Wikipedia, and Wikipedia basically is 70-30, sometimes 60-40, weighed toward male writers versus female writers, global North writer producers versus global South, etc. And we just have to be a little bit concerned about that. In fact, I was giving up writing Wikipedia pages. I thought nobody uses those anymore, and now I'm doing that again. You know, Wikipedia pages for my favorite people, because ChatGPT samples so much from them. So I might be affecting somebody's third grade homework assignment by providing a little bit more on Louisa May Alcott than a male writer. So just a little warning there. I don't want to put a damper on your parade there.
No, Joe. And we love, I know you've called the show before, and we have really loved when you call. And in fact, you make us think. It isn't, you know, as much as I'm down the rabbit hole and I have epistemologically shifted my understanding of this, doesn't mean that what you just said, right? There's that word. I'm going to keep using it, man. It's not one of the seven dirty words, but this, to recognize though, too, the, you know, what is it in one sense, what's it echoing? And if there are biases out there, it's going to echo those biases. And so as a good teacher, in a learning situation, Johnny, the reality is that we're going to bring AI fully in front of students if we do this, and they need to be taught, as Joanna said, the reality of, are these prone to biases? I think that whole discussion of, first of all, yes, they are. Is this a way to potentially understand bias in a way that we weren't able to teach in the past? I'm just wondering. I can see your face, John. You're giving me that look. Oh, Joanne, I appreciate the call. Bob, the call. Hello, yeah. Tom. And we got a texter out there. My sister, quote, this is from somebody texting the show. My sister said it was the reintroduction of the internet. I say it's like the Gutenberg press of the 1400s. Johnny thinks it's a calculator. Oh, it's open AI.
This is the thing that I started with in skepticism is, remember, all technology only tells you what it knows and is learning. So artificial intelligence is a fake thing. There's no. It comes from somewhere. It's a bad name for it, except it's one of the cool sort of names that taps us into this sort of futuristic and sexy idea about it. You know, that's where, and it also sparks this whole thing where my students the other day were asking the same question about, like, what do you think about it? Like, and I was like, look, I'm not going good or bad on it. We don't know. Technology is moving at a speed that's far beyond right now our capacity to map out what the effects of it are going to be. However, like, I don't think it's going to lead to like robots taking over, you know, our country. This is not like one of those films where like the robots like learn, the computers learn too much, and then sort of like Terminator shows up and like it, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the direction of this, because I think Joanne reminds us of a really important thing. All of this is information that it's given by humans. Even the stuff that's algorithmically like determined based on information out there, like it is making some assumptions, it's still all doing that based on an algorithm programmed by humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it is biased. It has bias. Now, could it be like what Joanne's doing in sort of this scholarly form of activism or this educator advocacy where it's like going into Wikipedia and open source code kinds of places and, you know, mm-hmm. sharing information with the best of her expertise and, you know, probably ethical commitment to truths, right? Having it out there. Like, I think that's important work, because all of these things can only tell us what it is learning and out there knowing. It's not creating new knowledge anywhere. So, I mean, I get into that. So that's the thing I think we still have to understand, is the limitations to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful tool, but it's not going to eliminate humanness.
No, and I didn't go there, and I'm not going there. In fact, Johnny, you know, because you're bumping up against this other thing, this artificial general intelligence, the ability for this computer to potentially do something outside of the bounds of what humans tell it, and in fact have its own thought and make its own decision. I don't think we're even close to that, and I'm not even sure, I'm going to say it out here, I'm not even sure that we actually will ever get there to the Terminator, but we're talking about this potentially as a change agent. I'm going to frame it that way. Joanne, I'm going to put a task though to Joanne. You're out there writing Wikipedia pages. We task you using AI. Hey, put together a Busted Pencils Wikipedia page. I'm thinking right out there. Anya, I see you're texting in the chat room. Tell us about this doc recommendation.
Well, I was sitting here listening to you guys, and I was thinking, you're talking about coding and talking about bias, and why is the part of my film brain lighting up with some title? Oh, that's because there's this great documentary called Coded Bias. And I saw it at the Milwaukee Film Festival, but you can find it online, and it walks you through kind of like 6 great tech vignettes of ways that tech has underhelped or underrepresented, especially like people of color. Like, one thing is, you know, those automatic faucets you swipe your hand under and it's supposed to start the water. Well, many of those companies never showed those sensors enough hands of people of color. So now in the real world, when people of color try to use those facilities, those tools, they just won't turn on because the robot doesn't know what it's looking at. So that's a great way to kind of actualize in your mind what bias in tech can look like. Because people are like, robots can't make biased decisions, but people made the robots, so.
Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, that's the key remembering is that these quote robots, these intelligences, these artificials, they're a reflection of the input that went into creating them, and realizing that the creation did start with a human, and humans are biased. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, when we get back though from the break, I want to throw this in. Ethan Mollick, who is a professor at the Wharton Business School, University of Pennsylvania, though, I put an article in the chat for us to look at, but I'm talking about this. Can this, though, artificial intelligence from a learning standpoint, can it address gaps and can it make people smarter? That's the question we're going to ask and we're going to try to answer. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. This is an AI-free commercial break. See you in a minute.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Tim and Johnny, drinking Bud Light, shopping at Target, and of course, don't forget their pronoun, them. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
And it is Busted Pencils. We're back, fully leaded education talk. Bob, our caller, I got a little text fully here. Human. Johnny, what's that?
Fully human.
Yeah, fully human education talk. Hey, Bob sent me a little text here, Johnny, for you. AI today, he said, this is for my co-host, who's the math guy. AI today is like the theory of relativity and quantum physics.
Yes.
Just in the world of computers and intelligence. So Okay, so using an example, then even Bob right there is saying, how do we help people learn? And Bob, thanks for giving us that, because we're making this pivot. Wanted to say, I introduced Ethan Mollick. Check him out. You know, go out and use your AI, use your regular Google, whatever you want to do. Professor Wharton Business School, University of Pennsylvania. He is doing a lot of great traditional human-based research on teaching and learning specifically. Can this artificial intelligence be used to help people? And we'll just say it, you know, very, very ineloquently. Can it help people learn stuff better and faster? And Ethan's got some pretty amazing stuff. And I'm going to set this up. The study he did, he goes in and looks at and takes a consulting organization in Boston, group of people who, you know, kind of look in, if you put them on a normal curve, they're probably all in the same category of, these are really smart, brilliant people. They all work for the same firm. However, like any population that's skewed, once you then put that population together, guess what? Individuals have gaps and weaknesses in the things they're supposed to know. So Ethan takes this group and splits them up into one control group, one the test group. The test group, they all get assessed on where their weaknesses are in how they can be better workers for this company. They all get assessed in their weaknesses. They all get a plan to address their skill gaps. Let's just call them that, their skill gaps. The one group gets AI-assisted tutoring. The other group gets traditional, kind of like, here's your gaps, here's some ways to fix yourself. At the end of the study, the AI-assisted skill gap, the ability of people to close their own skill gaps was 55% better than the non-AI-assisted. Ethan's putting this put forward. Now, check out his blog post here. I just want to make sure that I have it in there. OneUsefulThing.org. And the title of this, yes, everyone is above average now. And Johnny, so here is somebody who's talking about this moving forward and saying, look, you want to help people learn better? Here's a controlled experiment that shows, guess what? A group of people who are pretty much the same, great, you know, typical intelligence around the same area, one given AI-assisted enhancement to get their skills, you know, the skill gaps covered, the other one not. The AI far, far, far exponentially better than the other group. Lupinacci, thoughts?
I mean, yeah, I love it as I think you bring up that notion of like every tool can also be used for destruction of things. And so like we have to really think about, I think it asked the, for a simple answer, I think it absolutely does make it possible to do more learning, to do, I think, a more accurate, you know, kind of learning that's a little more sped up. It could be maybe sped up too fast, but it's also preparing people for the tools of the workplace and everyday life that I think are out there. I also, and to like add a layer of that, I think it holds us as educators more accountable to meaningful assignments.
Thank you. Yes. Back to John. Yeah. John Warner's point, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think it's an invitation and we've always had that invitation. I think it's also a little bit more than an invitation. And this is where I kind of play with the idea of like the robots are actually coming. Like they're the Terminator's not showing up. Right. But actually there is like a sort of a moment where educators are faced with one students who are requesting and maybe even demanding, you know, better education and more meaningful learning experiences. And they could literally type that in to chat, to Bard or to ChatGPT or to artificial intelligence, you know, what would be a good, you know, syllabus or what are meaningful learning experiences or activities. So the accountability level, I think, raised. So that's when it comes to like the future, you know, I think it holds us accountable to like really great teachers will continue to be really great teachers and will teach utilizing this tool in their classrooms and they'll adapt with it because good teaching skills actually like stand the test of time and they flex with technological advances and changes. But bad teaching is going to have a hard go at things. I think that it runs the possibility of that. And I want you to come back. If you can, I want you to come back around to that term that I keep joking the FCC is going to ban us for.
Epistemology.
You said, you know, it's what you had said it, and that word always catches my attention because it could mean a lot of things in reference to this.
Okay.
Because I do think AI changes and is highly topical for epistemologists into like thinking around like how it shifts questions that we ask in epistemology. But can you break that term down so our listeners don't just think we're trying to find a creative way to say pissed?
No, exactly. So I mean, this is my very oversimplification. Epistemology, how do I know what I know? That's my number one definition to try to get somebody. How do I know what I know? So when I think I know something, there's actually rules about how I believe I know what I know. When that shifts, when all of a sudden I fundamentally change my mind, I have an epistemological shift because I now see the world totally different. So one day I went to bed thinking this, the next day I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, my world has changed. And so, you know, it's a pretty groundbreaking thing to say somebody's epistemology has shifted. It's not just it's not a new opinion. It's not it really is. It's a groundbreaking chance out there. LA Tom asks, are they saying Bard, B-A-R-D? Yeah, Bard. Yep. That's what they're saying. Bard is out there.
Like the
band. Oh, Johnny, so much. Busted Pencils. We love the show. We're going to come back with more next week.
Next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.